Father, we thank you for your precious word again that instructs us, and this is the most important lesson to grapple with this whole thing of all things work together. Really? Do they? We need to really look at that. Now, Lord, we just pray that you would be our teacher this morning, that you would open up the word of God to us, and that we would leave here today encouraged. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, groaning and groaning and groaning was last week's lesson. I could really get into it. In fact, I did for a couple of days and made everybody miserable. And then four of my beautiful kids came over with one grandson and cleaned my house. So I stopped groaning. But we can get into that, can't we? Because we're believers. And a lot of things happen to us that we don't like, and we like to groan. In fact, our bodies get painful, of aches and pains, and we groan getting out of bed and so on. And it just seems like that's all life is as you get as old as myself. Great grandma. But it may have been new to you, a few of you, that all of creation groans, that it was cursed right along with Adam and Eve. And it makes us feel bad, you know, to plant things and they die, or we have pets that die, and it's difficult. But the one thing that might have been new to you, a few of you, would be the fact that the Holy Spirit groans also. Now, I can understand that inside me, because I give him a lot of trouble. But that might have been new to you. He has such an enormous job for us. The first thing is he wants to teach us Scripture. He's the one that brings it up off the page to you. Have you ever read a portion of Scripture and then you went back to it maybe a month later, reread it, and a verse just leaps off the page? And it's right from the Holy Spirit to you, right from God. He wants to tell you something. He moves us to pray. You know, it's like some ladies will say, well, I've tried everything else. Well, wonderful, but try praying first. You'll save yourself a lot of headache. And the most beautiful thing that I love about the Holy Spirit is he's got a hold of us. He's not going to let go. Another thing I think the Holy Spirit does that I just think is so beautiful is he gives us a love for other believers. We have an amazing leaders group. I think that every year, but it seems like we have such a love for one another. We go to different churches. We have different backgrounds. But I've never seen, I feel really one with them when we get together on Mondays and go over these lessons. One thing he does that you may not be aware of, he dims our love or our taste for this world. Have you ever noticed that maybe 5 or 10 years ago you really had a hunger for something, or you really had a desire for something, and you could hardly wait to get it, but you didn't have any money at the time, so you just kind of put it on hold. And now today, maybe 5 or 10 years later, you have no interest in it. And that is the Holy Spirit just kind of weaning you from the world's things. And then he also helps us to have an emotional response with the Father. Abba, Father. And this to me is the most wonderful thing of all. The Holy Spirit himself testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. Can anything be more precious than that? You may have had a rough upbringing. You may have had a family that just wasn't together, and but now you're a part of the family of God. I just relish that. I'm in. I feel, isn't that great? We're part of God's family. Now, you might have had some trouble with this in regards to your own conscience. You say, well, God can't accept me, you know, and I did this back then, and God is not going to approve of me, and I have to give you 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. I remember I had trouble with that after I first came to the Lord, because my heart would still condemn me. Guess who was doing that? The enemy of my soul was doing that, trying to tell me that God could never accept me. But that's not true. And then a thing to confirm that is, remember, Moses was a murderer, and David was not only a murderer, but an adulterer, and both of those men were accepted by God. In fact, mightily used. I imagine David to this day probably grieves over the fact that he ever messed around with Uriah's wife, but so be it. It helps the rest of us to get a handle on this. Well, we started in Adam, and now by faith we're in Christ. Are you in Christ? That's the main thing. Because all of what I've said so far doesn't apply unless you are in Christ. And it's all done by faith. We're in the Spirit, we can walk according to the Spirit, and if we're in the Spirit, we are therefore led by the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, we are sons of God, and if we're sons of God, then we are heirs of all that God has for us, all that Christ will share in. I was thinking about that yesterday. I remember Pearl Hamilton back in BSF. She said, well, maybe God's going to give us planets, and we're going to be out there in space. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's going to be wonderful. So nothing you could ever experience could ever separate you from this one that has called you to himself. It's might be frightening to you to think that you could be separated from the love of God. But, and we need to look at that. But if you base your view of God's love on your circumstances, you've got a big problem. And how I wish back when I was a new believer, somebody would have told me that. Because I would look at my circumstances and say, God must really hate me, because life is very difficult and I don't like any part of it. And I was looking at my circumstances while people were telling me that God loved me. And I became very bewildered and confused. And how many of us have asked the same question that I was asking then? How could a loving God allow this to happen to me? I'm such a nice person. You know? God promised that you would never be separated from his love. He did not say that you would never face hardships or persecutions or poverty or danger or peril. But he did say you'd never be separated from his love. So make this a sure thing in your mind. Don't ever judge God's love based on your circumstances. Mm-mm. That's a huge mistake. Instead, evaluate your circumstances from the perspective of God's love. And what's the perspective of God's love? Is that he died on the cross for you. That's the thing that we try to avoid or get away from. But I just want to encourage you that if you ever get depressed, and most women do, or if you ever feel like you're all by yourself in a situation, then open up chapter 8 of Romans and read it through. And ask God to speak to your heart about whatever's written there. This isn't just a hope for the future and the by and by, but it's deliverance now. It's His meeting our needs right now in the present. If we remember who we are, we might start acting like who we are. So easy to slip back into the old Adam's way of the flesh. But God has given you the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to say no. No to the flesh. Yes to the Spirit. To walk in a way that glorifies God. Don't let the members of your body become instruments of sin. Don't give in to it. We don't have to let our eyes look at the wrong things. Remember this lady I had in my discussion group years ago who not only shoplift, but she did buy a lot of stuff. She had two garage full of those, you know, those rent-a-garage things, full of stuff, just full of it. And I thought to myself, the best thing for her to do was never go near the mall. Don't go near the mall. You know? But she was responsible for becoming this instrument of sin. Don't give in to it. We don't have to let our eyes look at the wrong things. We don't have to let our tongues say evil or hurtful, sarcastic, or vicious things. We don't have to let our lips lie. We don't have to let our ears hear things that are hurtful. Or let our minds, be sure to guard your mind, give way to thinking about things in a wrong purpose or plan, or in a vicious fashion. Oh my, how vicious Christians can be. I could tell you things that people have said that you would say, oh, they couldn't possibly be a Christian. No, they do. Our hands shouldn't be used for wrong purposes, and our sex organs shouldn't be used for wrong purposes. Bottom line, we don't have to sin. Resurrection power lives within you, and when you believe that God has said these sins are in your body, do not need to be there, that they can be controlled, they've been crucified with Christ. I often see it as, if I move ahead and do this sin, really, what am I doing? I'm re-crucifying Christ on the cross for it. That's awful. And sins are always worthless. don't think they produce anything. They don't. They produce sadness most of the time. And you can live by the Spirit. And my question to you would be, why not live? Why not live? Why spend most of your Christian life in a weakness or constantly experiencing guilt or fear or worry or loneliness or depression or discouragement? But why not live? Jesus said, I've come to give them life and life more abundantly. And how about Romans 8:28? Do you really believe that all things work together for good? Well, I think you have to take it as the verse says and not skip the rest of the verse. And my friends in Christ, please be very careful about giving out this verse. It's not a panacea. People really hurt. And we have no idea what God is doing in that life. You could be, God may be disciplining them. The devil may be having access at them. Maybe man's drunken behavior causes terrible accident. and so on. You can make a whole list of things that happen. And we're going to blame it all on God, or that God can bring good out of that? Well, I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he won't. Maybe you'll never know. Maybe you're going to go through something that's not even for you. Maybe it's for someone else in your family, and they need that encouragement. They need to hear what you have to say, and that you've been there, and you survived. Maybe it wasn't for you at all. Boy, the Lord, remember, he's with every believer when they're hurting and suffering. God of eternity, the God who made everything, he's with you. And he weeps with you when you weep. Some of you have cried your eyes out when you've gone to sleep at night. And you wondered if there was any hope, any happiness around the corner. And yet, the Lord is weeping with you. He feels with you. Just remember that Jesus never hid his tears when he was walking this earth. I have a hunch he probably laughed a lot, at least inside. Especially with Peter, he was constantly doing things. But he has such care for you and concern for you. And our choice, whether we go his way or otherwise, is up to us. Well, you have foreknowledge. That's really hard for you and I to get a hold of because we don't have any foreknowledge. We barely have any hindsight. But God's outside of time, so he sees it all. In fact, I even asked the Lord, I said, are you bored? Because you know everything that's going to happen. And didn't get an answer on that. I'm sure he's not bored because we keep him pretty busy. Anyway, he has foreknowledge. It's chosen in advance. The choice of him results in prior choice of them. That's how our salvation comes about. It's the reason that all things can work together for good. But don't glibly use that verse because somebody may be going through something and that hurts them to hear that. So be very sensitive with that. Someday they may tell you, oh yes, God used that in my life. And then predestined, that sounds pretty, you know, exclusive. No. It looks to the goal of electing work of God. Why is he predestining us? Well, scriptures say because he wants us to become like Christ. And I think, well, I may be here 500 years because it's going to take a long time for me to be like Christ. So how does this all work together? Well, Charlotte Hunt brought up taught me years ago about this gate to heaven. And there you are standing outside the gate and it says, whosoever shall come. And then you go through the gate and you get on the other side and you look back and it says, he foreknew from the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? But we see, we're only on one side, so we can't see all that. But we're predestined to be like Christ. And it's calling. It's an effectual calling. What does that mean? It means that it has power behind it. And I know the Lord got me in a real tight spot, and he really called and said, you're going to have to look my way or you're not going to make it. And so I finally looked his way and finally was born again. And that's what it means by effectual. It's an effectual thing that happens. And justification, what is the point? Jesus wants to cover us in robes of righteousness, just as if we had never sinned. Isn't that incredible? I think it's incredible being part of the family of God, but also to be covered And then if you bring up some past sin back here or there, and the Lord says, I choose not to remember that, that sin is forgiven. I died for it on the cross. And then the glorification, well, that's a certainty. And the amazing thing that all that Christ has is going to be also a part of us. Somehow something changes when we begin to realize that suffering is a part of God's plan. Remember Paul, all the things that last week he wrote down about Paul's suffering? And he says, don't even count on it. Don't even look at it. It's going to be so great when we receive our glory. And I found this, my studies this week, and I liked it so much I thought I'd share it with you. This is from Discovering Romans, S. Lewis Johnson, Jr. The Lord will sustain every Christian in the midst of every trial. He will hold up and support the believer while giving the assurance of his presence as they lean on the great truths in Romans 8, 28 through 30. Samuel Rutherford, an old Scottish Presbyterian who had a large part in the writing of Westminster Confession of Faith, used to say, whenever I find myself in the cellar of affliction, I always look around for the wine. The golden chain of salvation is the wine of the Christian faith. Sovereign grace comforts and encourages every true Christian. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, instead of looking at all the affliction, he's looking for the wine of it. It's like saying, what are you going to make out of this, Lord? Here I am. And that's a great attitude to have. Well, it says, if God is for us, isn't that beautiful? And the evidence of that is found at the cross. Every time you get bewildered about God's love, take a long, hard look at the cross. That's how much he loves you. In verse 32, he who did not spare his own son gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He's not going to cut you off. He's not going to say, that's enough of that. No, he works with us. It's amazing. That's why we don't need to be interested or involved in other people's lives, because we've got so much to do here. At least I have so much to do here. So I praise God that God is for us. God will give everything else that is necessary for our salvation, our future. He gave the best. He will give the rest. I think that's the thing I've been noticing as we've gone through Romans, is that it's all of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. If you can get through chapter 1 and 2 and 3, then you begin to realize that we're a mess. And he still called us. Isn't that awesome? So, death can't separate us from the love of God. Well, do you have any proof of that? Yes. How about Lazarus? Lazarus has been dead for 4 days in the tomb. That's a real fun story. I love that story. And he was called out. How about the thief on the cross? Where did he go? He went to be with the Lord in paradise. How beautiful. So, can you imagine what's ahead for each of us? As this body gets more decrepit and more decrepit, we've got an amazing future ahead of us. Well, the conclusion there was the list of things that might be considered as enemies in Scripture. Paul tells us, nothing else in creation can possibly keep you separated from the love of God. Because we're his creations also. Don't forget that. The love of God, Jesus our Lord, can you imagine? We'll be with him forever. Nothing can separate ourselves. Even our faith is a gift. I told you last week that not too long after I had become a Christian, I wanted to give my badge back. I said, this is too tough a life, Lord, because I was trying to do it all in the flesh. And I said, here's my badge back. Guess what? It was a gift from him. I can't give it back. But can you imagine, just in this one chapter, we've gone from Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No beautiful, more beautiful words are those. And we finish with, there's no separation, for eternal life is ours. Isn't that? I just can't get over that. So I just want to reiterate the fact that don't base your situation of God's love on your circumstances. Your circumstances can be just very difficult. And as I say, none of us in this room know what anybody's going through, because only God himself is allowing it for some reason. You may never know this side of heaven, but there's one person you can trust, and that's the Lord. So don't look at your circumstances like I did and say, well, God must be against me because all these horrible things are happening. No. It's based on his love is based on him and what he's done for us on the cross. That's the perspective of God's love. So if you ever feel like, oh, I don't feel loved, I don't have anybody to love me, so we're back to groaning. And the Spirit of God says within you, says, look at that cross. He loves you this much. You can go right into the Gospels and read all of what the Lord did for you on that cross and know that that's how much he loves you. There's nothing, no condemnation, and now there's no separation. That is an amazing Savior we have. Father, we thank you for, again, this precious word of Romans. It has so much in it for us. I pray, Lord, that if anyone goes home feeling the blues today, that they might open up Romans and say to you, Lord, speak to me through this book. Tell me how you see me. Tell me what I can do next. Help me, Lord, to get my focus off of my circumstances and onto you. You are life indeed. You have a life ahead for us. And you want to give us abundant life now. So, Lord, have your way. And may this chapter 8 change us forever. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I have 2 minutes and I have 2 questions. Oh, that's a thing of timing there on Korah in Psalm 44. And it wouldn't matter which came first, 53:7 or Psalm 44. It's all part of God's word. Being led as sheep to the slaughter. Jesus was led to the cross like a sheep to the slaughter. And that also had further meaning for the nation of Israel. Some pastors interpret for the good of those that love him versus only those believers who actually love God. Don't go there. Just let it go. I think the best thing is what Charlotte had showed me with you go through the gate, and the gate says, whosoever will come, and you get on the other side, you've been chosen from the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? You can dig as deep as you want, and then you're going to get stuck. There's a lot of things we don't know. Be happy with that. If we knew everything, why would we need the Lord? You know? So it's a tough lesson on predetermination and all those words that we find in it. We can take it so far and take it that far, God wants us to, but don't go too far with it where you block everybody into certain slots. I've seen that happen. I know of a whole religious aspect that has put people into slots, and you don't even have to witness because it's all sewed up. No. Always remember this. Scripture interprets Scripture. Don't ever take a verse out of some place and make a whole doctrine out of it. You can't do that. Always look for other Scripture to give you understanding. When all else fails, call my son in. Except he'll keep you on the phone quite a while. Now he's a new grandfather again, so I'm sure he's thrilled. And anyway, I hope you have a great week, and God will bless you. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we pray for those that are hurt or out for some reason today, especially Annabelle. We pray that you'd bring healing back to her, Lord. We miss her. And others, Lord, that have struggled with the flu, that you would lay your healing hands on them. Again, Lord, as we look into your word, may it be your word that teaches us. May it be your Holy Spirit that teaches us. Help us to let go of some things, perhaps misconceived ideas, that we can hear your word teach us. We need to be taught by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've gone to so much trouble for each of us. Ah, what an amazing God you are. And there's anyone here today that has not made that decision of saying yes to you, I want to be your child. I want to go through that gate and be forever with you. May this be the day that they won't let it pass by without getting alone with you and saying, yes, Jesus, I want to be your child. Forgive me. And may I feel your love. And for the rest of us, Lord, we need a special touch. And we'll give you all the praise. Thank you for my new little great-granddaughter. That new life is so precious. And we love you today, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.